You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Welcome to this episode of the Business of Practice podcast, where we focus on the business and human sides of equine veterinary medicine. In this episode, we're going to talk with Dr. Cara Wright about the work Merck has done in wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Grice, business consultant and former equine practice owner. The Business of Practice podcast is brought to you in 2026 by Care Credit. Dr. Wright is currently a senior equine professional services veterinarian with Merck Animal Health. Prior to veterinary school, she earned a master's degree in animal science, focusing on equine reproduction. Dr. Wright graduated from the Virginia Maryland Regional College of Veterinary Medicine in 2009 and then completed an internship in Florida, after which she was in equine private practice, including working as a relief veterinarian for many years until joining Merck in 2022. She is a graduate of and a facilitator for the Decade One program, as well as a founding member of the Sustainability in Equine Practice seminar series. Outside of work, she enjoys training for and racing in triathlons. Welcome, Dr. Wright. It's so good to have you with us today.
Thank you, Dr. Grice. It's great to be here.
Merck Animal Health has done so much work. They've released four comprehensive veterinary well-being studies in partnership with the AVMA. These studies have tracked mental health, burnout, and well-being trends among U.S. veterinarians and their teams and allowed the development of support resources. Tell us about how and why this area became a focus for Merck.
Great question. So there have been the four well-being studies that have been released. The first one was in 2017, and it basically came up because Merck Animal Health had kind of recognized, I think as we all sort of did, that there are a lot of serious and potentially unexamined mental health risks that people in the profession have. So they decided to, as a leading animal health company, right, we work for veterinarians. They were like, we need to look at this. We need to figure this out and see what kind of responsibility we can take and go from there. So that's how they developed and got started in the beginning. The first three studies only looked at veterinarians, but the latest study that came out in 2023 has an entire separate survey devoted to veterinary teams, which is a super important piece of the puzzle, as we all know, right? You can't run a practice without your technicians, your assistants, your customer service, your office manager. So anyway, I will dive into that a little bit when we talk more, but the team study was really important. A lot of good information came out of that.
What would you say are some of the most important findings of the studies? And over the years, have there been trends? Mm-hmm. Like, are we seeing things getting better, getting worse? Are they different? What have you seen?
Yeah, so great question. Lots of different answers. So I'll dive into this. But so one of the most interesting points from the most recent well-being study is that the majority of veterinarians, 74%, are satisfied with their career, which is actually quite a high number. And I think when we are all kind of sitting around chatting or talking about the industry casually, there's a kind of narrative that veterinarians are unhappy generally, right? That most people don't like their job, that most people are burnt out, that most people aren't happy. And that's actually a disconnect, because when we actually look at the data, most people are pretty satisfied with their jobs. And I think that that is a really important thing to note, especially in this age of social media and echo chambers and things that you can find yourself in, is that, and this is not to minimize if you are someone who is unhappy in your job, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't be. It just means that in general, people are doing better than we think. And it's just a really important thing to note. So instead of being like, man, everybody's miserable, we can say, a lot of people are doing pretty well. How can we focus on the people who are unhappy? What can we do for them specifically? So that is a trend that that has gotten better. And then it's actually interesting that veterinarians have a higher job satisfaction than the general population of Americans.
Wow. I wouldn't have thought that.
Right. Right. You wouldn't have thought that because we spend a lot of time talking about the things that maybe aren't great, which mm-hmm. doesn't mean that they're not great. And it doesn't mean that we can't do better. But what it means is that in general, like, we're okay as a right. profession. And in general, great. Let's dive into the things that we find that we know need work and go from there. When we talk about equine veterinarians specifically, so that those numbers I just said, the 74% being satisfied is all equine, or excuse me, all veterinarians that were surveyed, so all different types. But when we pull out the equine veterinarian data specifically, actually, it's even better. Over 8 of 10 are satisfied with their job. And one of the trends that we have noted a couple different points in the study is that satisfaction in practice increases with your time in practice, which makes sense for a lot of reasons, right? We know in equine practice, a lot of people don't make it past the first 5 years. So statistically, those people aren't in these samples, right? When we're asking, right? But then also, right, you've been in practice longer. You've probably worked out some of the kinks in your day-to-day scheduling or how you do things. You feel more confident in procedures or conversations. Business-wise, you are more likely to be a partner. You are more likely to be earning more money with more years in practice, which is something else that we did find in the study. The longer you're in practice, the more money you make. And that can be helpful. I'll talk a little bit about some of the data on student debt. And so again, the longer you are in practice, the more the numbers improve, which is related to your mental health.
I wonder if part of it is the longer you're in practice, the more you have satisfying relationships with long-term clients. You get to know people. You feel like you belong, like you matter to them. That's probably has part of it as I well, so. I bet.
And then I think on the other side of that is maybe some of the more difficult clients or the more difficult cases, it's not the first time it's happened to you. So you may be slightly more resilient in how you are able to manage some of the challenges just because you've had the experience, you know. So
good
not
point.
Only do you have the positive relationships, but you're better equipped to maybe handle some of the trickier ones.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
The Business of Practice podcast is brought to you by Care Credit. Care Credit keeps equine veterinarians at the heart of care by providing horse owners with simple, budget-friendly financing options. By helping to bridge the gap between costs and care, Care Credit supports healthy financial relationships between veterinarians and their clients. Clients have a flexible way to pay over time for all types of care, and practices get paid in 2 business days. It's a payment experience everyone can feel good about.
Yeah, so let's see, what else do I have about some of these equine vets specifically? In this most recent study, 83% of the equine veterinarians do not regret becoming a veterinarian, which I think is important because, again, in that sort of dialogue that we think we hear all the time, I don't think anyone would say that 83% of our colleagues, you know, are happy and don't regret it, right? Because you're always like, oh, I know somebody who's miserable. But I think what's really interesting is that that percentage is slightly higher than small animal vets, right? So equine veterinarians, less likely to regret becoming a vet than small animal. But interestingly, mixed animal and food animal veterinarians actually have a higher satisfaction by a few percentage points.
Wow.
And nobody's diving in to look at why that is. That's beyond the scope of this data set. But I do think that that's just really interesting. I don't know. You know,
it is.
Like, what do they do all day? But like, I guess they're pretty happy, right?
Well, maybe the mixed ones are happy because they get to have such a big variety.
Yeah.
And they're probably most of the mixed practices end up in fairly rural areas.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe they're getting paid in apple pies or cinnamon buns. How could you not like that?
Or I mean the cost of eggs, right? Maybe they're doing
right?
trade for eggs and they're actually making more money.
And maybe, you know, the communities, rural mm-hmm. communities can be really a supportive yeah. place to live often the surroundings are beautiful, peaceful. So maybe a part, yeah, because large animal practices are kind of the same way.
Sure.
Often in beautiful areas.
Yep. And do you know what's interesting is one of the things, one of the data points that came out of this study found, and as we're talking about this, I wonder if this is what it is that veterinarians who have more control over their schedule experience less burnout than those whose schedules are dictated. And I think in general, as equine practitioners, as large animal practitioners, we have more freedom in how we schedule and how our day goes compared to our small animal colleagues who, in general, I think walk into a building at a certain time and then are, I mean, I don't know how they do it because I would struggle, but, you know, seeing so many more cases, they don't necessarily get that break in between. You know, we all know that drive time is kind of lost time, but sometimes I think that drive time can be really good for a mental reset or just a chance to just take a beat, right? Between whatever just happened or what's coming next, it gives you a minute to prepare.
Or so, debrief sure. With, you know, on the phone with a friend, or if you have an assistant where you can say, was that person really crazy? Or like, or what?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So maybe that's it, right? Some of that freedom to schedule mm-hmm. does lead to less mm-hmm. burnout.
Right.
So let's see. Yeah. I don't know. What else do we have about equine vets? So we did find in this data set that the equine veterinarians with both less student debt and more time in practice had higher general well-being. And I think that's one of those statements that just sounds kind of silly that you had to run statistics to actually say, like, people with less debt have higher well-being, because it sounds yeah. kind of clear, right? But I think it is important to measure these things and to actually understand what that means. Because again, how can you look at trends over time if you're not measuring things, right?
I mean, right. Absolutely.
So another thing that, one of the trends that we did find that we think is related to some of the positive outcomes that we're seeing over these studies, there has been a growth in the number of veterinary practices that offer mental health insurance coverage to their employees. So, up to 52% in 2023 versus 44% in 2017. So, enough of a difference for sure. So more people are getting mental health insurance coverage. And then there's also a larger increase in practices offering what are called employee assistance programs. So that's up to 38% in 2023, down from 21% in 2017. And those employee assistance programs are essentially set up to help kind of bridge the gap. Maybe if you don't have mental health coverage, but you need some short-term support and some counseling and things like that. I do want to mention a program, and we can link to this in the show notes, that the AAP has a program for member practices called the Healthy Practice Program. And that is a program that offers some counseling and support for both veterinarians, and now practices can sign up and their staff members can be eligible. So this is something really important that people should look into, because that can be a nice way, if people do need some support for themselves or their family members, to get it if maybe their insurance doesn't cover it, or they just need, you know, to get through a short time of something happening.
Yeah, and it is a benefit of AAEP membership. It's not a program that you sign yeah. up for and then right. then pay a monthly fee or anything. Right. It's a benefit.
Yeah,
it's a cool benefit. For sure.
Sure. Yeah. So yeah, I guess the other things that we found in this study as we went through, I would like to go through some of the sort of the what can you actually do, right? We have all this information, we have all these numbers about satisfaction and burnout and all these things, but there's basically three things that were statistically tied to people with better well-being. And again, they kind of sound super obvious and almost too simplistic. But what I think that means is that you can take small steps and really increase your well-being without a big ask, right? Without a big load. So the first thing that they found that had a positive correlation with well-being is having a healthy stress management technique. So whatever that looks like to you, right? Whether it's exercise or reading a book or coloring. Coloring is actually something that I started doing over Christmas. just because it's something that you can do when there's other people around and you're not totally ignoring them, like reading a book on the couch, but it still, you know, makes your brain feel good, right? So having that healthy stress management technique, whatever that is for you. And then the next thing they found that was positively correlated with well-being, again, sounds super obvious, is to have a healthy work and non-work balance, right? We talk about that work-life balance. Is it a balance? Is it ever going to be equal? Probably not, especially in equine medicine where it's a seasonal, often very seasonal, whether it's horse show season or breeding season, or I don't know, I lived in Idaho for a year. We didn't see horses in the winter because it was snowing 5 feet, but in the summer we were swamped, right? So what does that look like in your seasons of your career? And can you make that time for yourself, you know, and maybe it won't be as much in February, March, April, May, but maybe in November you can spend more time doing the things you love. And then the last thing they found that was positively correlated with well-being is engaging a financial planner. And I think that this is something that is definitely overlooked by people because it sounds expensive and out of reach, but the time to engage someone or discuss with someone who knows a lot about money is when you actually don't have any and are looking at your student debt and just staring at it and feeling panicked. There are people out there who specialize in financial planning for veterinarians. There are people out there whose literal job is to figure out what is going on with student loans right now and keep you up to date. So one of the resources that we'll link to is the VIN Foundation. They have a lot of really good resources on student loans and options and just kind of keeping everybody, you know, as much as they can be up to date on the things that are changing. But again, financial planning is positively correlated with well-being. So that's something for sure to look into. And again, we'll link to some of those resources. And I know you had asked about the veterinary teams because that was a whole study that they did in 2023. So this one was really important. And as we already stated, right, you can't run a practice without your support staff. I mean, people have done it, right? There are a lot of people who are solo practitioners and they work by themselves. But once you start getting staff, you realize that those people are invaluable to practicing safely, practicing efficiently, maybe even helping you avoid the things you don't like to do, right? There's things you don't love to do at work. Maybe these people can be the one who helps you. But the key findings from the well-being for teams out of that 2023 study, number one is that the veterinary team is generally quite invested in and takes a lot of pride in their work. You know, your teammates are happy to be there. They have chosen this career. They want to be there doing a good job. The majority of them are satisfied with their job, but there are some notable well-being differences among roles. When you compare a certified technician to an assistant, to a customer service agent, those roles have different levels of well-being. Unfortunately, significant financial stress is really common among team members. It was one of the most commonly cited stressors and problems that affect our veterinary staff on a day-to-day basis. But they were able to correlate some action steps for both practice owners and individuals to make day-to-day life better for our veterinary support staff. So I'll run through these briefly so that we all know what they are. And some of them, there's so much more information elsewhere about it, but this can at least give you a starting point. So the action steps for practice owners is number one is to create a more constructive, positive clinic culture, because that's going to increase your employee satisfaction. It's going to reduce your turnover. If you are somebody who thinks all of that is kind of like woo-woo and fluffy, it will also increase your bottom line and your practice will make more money if your staff members are happy. So everybody wins if this is something that you work on. And it sounds super easy, right? Just like make your practice culture better, right? I'm sure you've had these conversations, Dr. Graf, with people.
It takes a lot, but there's some really good resources out there.
There are, yeah. So again, we'll link to some of it, but the AAP has put in a lot of work. They have a practice culture toolkit that is available that gives you, as a practice owner, some step-by-step information, some rubrics where you can grade yourself on how you're doing on some of these things. I have an entire presentation about it. Call me. We can talk about it. There's a lot of resources for people. But I do think, I mean, I guess my opinion, and I want to hear your opinion too, is that you have to believe in the changes that you're making in order to make them work. It does not work if you're just like, practice culture is better, let's move on. You really have to be engaged in the changes that you decide to make.
Yeah, it's not something that you have a check mark. I bought lunch this week. Our practice culture is all better now. Cha-ching. We've got that crossed off the list. There's so much to it. And leadership matters so much. I mean, the leaders model the way. And if the leaders aren't modeling having a healthy work-life balance, if leaders aren't modeling taking time off, leaders aren't modeling communicating with empathy, if leaders aren't modeling psychological safety, none of it happens.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's like the whole trap of like, oh, you have unlimited PTO, but you've never seen your boss not at work from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Are you ever going to take a day off? Probably not. Right. Like, it's just not the way.
Yeah. Just not how it works.
Right. And so you mentioned psychological safety, and that's actually the number two action step for practice owners, which is to work on improving psychological safety in your clinic, which is a part of practice culture, but it's also kind of its own thing. And again, there's a lot of resources out there on it, but basically that means creating an environment where people feel comfortable having conversations, asking questions, admitting mistakes, and just generally like having dialogue in a safe place where they don't feel that they're going to be punished or reprimanded or made fun of for asking a question or admitting that they mixed up, you know, the dewormer with the butte or whatever mistake it was. And again, something, as you just mentioned, it takes work.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it's our natural tendency. If someone has made a mistake, I remember years ago, my assistant drew up, instead of carbacane for my PD block, she drew up Lutalyse. The bottles look quite similar. And that very lame quarter horse, gelding, after his PD block, looked quite animated.
I bet. He's like,
and then he started to sweat. And I'm like, could you show me the bottle from which you, and she came back and her face was white as a sheet. And, you know, the tendency would be to be really mad. I didn't have to say a thing. I mean, she was just horrified. But it was safe for her to bring that bottle and show me what had happened. But imagine if you like went off the deep end and started yelling and
I mean, that it's hard not to admit a mistake, which is
right.
There's a
and
lot
you
of
can't
that.
Learn from it.
Right. How do you know? So, yeah, we can link to some stuff about the psychological safety as well, for sure. A couple of the other things for practice owners, we talked about the employee assistance programs and insurance coverage actually getting better over time. But again, making sure those options are available for your staff is really important for well-being. So even if you can't afford it through the insurance that you provide, again, the healthy practice program with AAP, there are some other things out there that you can look into. And then the final thing for practice owners is really to create opportunities for growth and advancement. People like to feel challenged. People also like to be used to their fullest potential. If you have a registered technician who's spending their day, you know, breaking down cardboard boxes and taking them to the recycling, that person is untapped and they have so many skills that they could be using. They're going to get bored and unhappy and they're going to leave. So one of the things that I challenge veterinarians in general, because when I work with technicians on some of this stuff, many of them feel that they are not utilized to their ability. But my challenge to veterinarians is use your staff, right? They are trained to do so many things besides just hold a horse and, you know, clean up from whatever the appointment was. So giving people the chance to be utilized and giving them growth opportunities, whether that's sending them to CE or setting up an in-house CE. Maybe, you know, one of the things we've talked about with some of the staff that I work with is for the ones that are more experienced, maybe having them set up a training day for the newer people. So they have a chance to practice teaching the skills while other people have a chance to learn. But giving people those opportunities is really important for their just growth and development as an employee and keeping them happy at work, as well as you know, getting your practice to have as many things going positively as possible.
Right. And increasing efficiencies, you know, that can make a big difference in equine practices so that people can be, you know, maximizing their time if they're in a doctor, that they're doing doctor things so that they can work less hours and make the same revenue. It just makes sense. It just definitely makes sense. One of the things that I've seen is that there are so many resources being developed in so many areas, both from the AVMA, from Merck, from the AAEP. There's lots and lots of resources. And a lot of times, you know, equine practitioners are pretty busy and they don't always know about resources. What are some of your favorites and where would you send people?
Great question. I mean, the great news is, right, that you just mentioned, well-being has been pretty front and center now for a couple of years at least. So there are a lot of more options out for people that are seeking something. You know, Merck Animal Health is obviously really proud to be kind of at the forefront of some of this with the research and some of the sponsorship of the AVMA and the AVMA programs that they have. They've got the workplace well-being program as well as a program called Train the Trainer, which is a way to help clinics develop in-house employee growth and how to improve their practice through in-house training. The other thing I would call people's attention to, especially for those early and mid-career practitioners, is a program called MentorVet, which was developed with the support of Merck by Dr. Eddie Reinhard. And it is a program that is set up to talk about all of these things that we talk about and that you don't necessarily learn in vet school, which is, you know, maybe how to communicate, maybe how to have difficult conversations, how to deal with burnout, signs of it, that kind of stuff. And they've got programs for both early career vets, mid-career practitioners. They have a technician-focused program as well now, which is super awesome. So we'll link to MentorVet for sure in the show notes. There are a couple of equine-specific programs out there. And we already a little bit talked about in the intro, Decade One and the Sustainability and Equine Practice Seminar Series, which are both programs that are developed exclusively for equine practitioners. Decade One is more business focused. So how to do it, right? How to run a business, how to do these things, how to network. You get a peer group, which I think has been really helpful. I mean, I'm still in touch with people from my Decade One group that I went through. And then the group that I have facilitated, I mean, they have a group me, which is an app for group chats. And I mean, that thing is going all the time. And it's just really great to get a group of people who are in the same place in their life and career as you, and then have them as your people. So I would absolutely say, check out those two things. And then internally at Merck, we have developed a program called Leg Up, which is focused on equine veterinary support staff. So based on this well-being study where we found the support staff is struggling in general more than the veterinarians, we kind of looked around and we were like, you know what? There's stuff for students, there's stuff for vets, but we are missing this huge chunk of people that equine practice cannot run without. So we developed Leg Up, and I kind of took the best of the Decade One setup and the best of the sustainability setup and kind of meshed it together for this online virtual program, which is for all equine support staff. And I'm really proud of it. I've met some really cool people through it. We've had some really great discussions. We're currently working on designing a Leg Up kind of 2.0 for people that have already gone through the base program to dive deeper into some of the topics that that people want more from. If you're an equine tech or assistant and you've got ideas or topics, come find me, tell me, right? We're trying to develop this program to make sure it meets the needs of the people that are out there working.
That sounds amazing and certainly much needed. You know, having a peer group, having somebody that understands what it's like if something happens and you need somebody to call to talk about, just having those people that you can call, that, you know, that understand. You can't always go home and, you know, tell your spouse or your best friend. They're going to give you support, but sometimes, like, they really don't get it.
Right.
And why would they? And right. So it's so nice to have that peer group for sure.
Yep, absolutely.
Is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners today?
Well, I appreciate you all for being here and listening. I hope this information has been useful. If you are someone who is struggling with burnout or financial struggles or feeling isolated in equine practice, there are definitely resources out there. We're going to link to them in the show notes, but please also connect with Dr. Grice, connect with me. We can help get you pointed in the right direction for whatever you might need.
That's a wonderful way to encourage people to reach out, because I know sometimes when you're at your lowest point, the more you want to isolate and just go down in your den and where it's dark. So I would encourage you, if you're having a struggle, please do reach out. And thank you so much, Dr. Wright. And thank you all for joining us for the Business Practice Podcast. And a big thank you to our sponsor, Care Credit. And to all my listeners out there, be brave. Embrace change.